Last week we had a chance in the first Chabura to explore some of the issues, some of the introductory issues that the Shulchan Aruch and the Poskim raise in Simen Reish Behei, even though last week's Maamar Kamos went into the first Sif of Reish Behei Tet, so we didn't make that part of the Chabura. So let's begin to look at the Sif Aleph and then move on into Sif Beis as well. Simen Reish Behei Tet, again we're skipping forward a little bit. We'll come back and Mitzvah Shem Teresh Pevav, Mitzvah Reish Pei Zayin, that address whether or not a particular room and doorway is high of a mezuzah. We're skipping first to the middle of Hilchus Mezuzah. Reish Pei Ches, Reish Pei Tes is how to go about putting up mezuzah. Reish Pei Ches, put aside the safras issues. The Reish Pei Tes, Reish Pei Ches, how to write a mezuzah. Reish Pei Tes is how to be koveya mezuzah. Which breaks down into three major questions. The first one is the bracha, that's Sif Aleph. And then the question of where to put the mezuzah, that's Sif Beis and Sif Gimel, maybe a little bit of Sif Dalet. And then finally the question of how to put mezuzah, that's Sif and Dalet, Hey and Vav. So the opening issue that the Torah raises, Shulchan Aruch raised, is making a bracha. Making a bracha on Kviyas HaMezuzah. Very, very beautiful note of Yehuda. In Yerodea Simen Sadi Gimel. It's famous as a note, as the tshuva in which he discusses L'Shem Yichud, and the tshuva in which he discusses his grave hesitation about the popularizing Kabbalah. It's very deep ruchnius in the tshuva that's often not noticed. If you actually read the tshuva with open eyes, he writes, and he speaks specifically about the power, the transformative power of Birkas HaMitzvahs. There are four parts of the tshuva. So one of the parts of the tshuva, he says, you want to say L'Shem Yichud because you want to prepare yourself for a kesher amitz between Pnimius and Chitzonius, between the Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa. He says, of course that's critically important. Of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us to be over to Him not only with our bodies, but with our minds and our hearts as well. Of course, it's both Chovas Ha'ivarim and Chovas Ha'alvavis, and so of course they're supposed to be intertwined. He says, but you don't need L'Shem Yichud for that. That's why the Anshak and Hezagdola gave us the gift of Birkas HaMitzvahs. He says, imagine if before you did a mitzvah, you said, HaKadosh, we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who runs the entire universe, transcendent God, who runs the entire universe, is also an immanent personal God who has a connection with me, Hashem Elokeinu, Melech HaOlam, and He gave me the opportunity and the expectation of endowing myself with Kedusha through His mitzvahs, and specifically through this mitzvah. Sher Kedusham Sosav, Mitzivanu, to do whichever mitzvah it is. So he says, that's why Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, who were people of extraordinary Kabbalah beyond what we can imagine, that's why they gave us the gift of the Birkas HaMitzvahs. If you say it like you mean it, you say it with Kavana, it's transformative. And then he writes there, he said, there are many mitzvahs which you don't make a bracha. He says, my personal practice is that when I'm about to do a mitzvah for which there's no bracha, no Yehuda writes, I'll say, he was not a man who was not ruchni. That's a profound misreading of the tshuva. He was deeply concerned about what the best way is to express and to access and to implement the ruchni. So it's a perspective on Birkas HaMitzvahs that a good friend and chavrusa of mine, now neighbor, Brian Goplin, some of you may know some of his sons, so he pointed out to him many years ago that Natan Yonah Yehuda is a Ritva Amtsachim, Tav Zayin. Meiri talks about it also, and to extent Amtsachim and Megillah, and talking about Birkas HaMitzvahs, and in talking about why it is that there's a need for over Lasiyasan, why Dafka the Mitzvah is supposed to Brachas, what was said beforehand. So the Ritva writes Amtsachim, that the reason why you make a bracha first is because the goal of a Birkas HaMitzvah, he talks about what are the goals of a Birkas HaMitzvah. So one of them, he says, is to make sure that your mind and heart are engaged together with your body. essentially what Yehuda says. He says, of course, you have to say the bracha beforehand. Say the bracha after the mitzvah, you already missed your chance. The whole point is to engage your penis, to have that on board when you're about to perform the ma'aseh mitzvah. And be that as it may, so there certainly is a din that appears in many places in Shas of saying Birkas HaMitzvahs. The member of Shmuel, Kol HaMitzvahs Kulo Mevarach Aleinu Over La'Asiyasa. And the Shulchan Aruch here is accessing the sugya that you saw in Sukkah and Menachas, specifically about the question of what's called a mitzvah for Birkas HaMitzvah purposes. They said that long sugya later Menachas that comes to the conclusion that it has to be Gemara Siyasa, that we assume that you don't make a bracha on the Hekshe Mitzvah, only make a bracha on the Mitzvah itself. The Gemara rejects the Hava Mina, that any act that can be done by a Nachri is automatically, that's a litmus test, a sin that indicates it's not a Maaseh Mitzvah, not necessarily, it could be when a Jew does it, it's a Maaseh Mitzvah, that could be, but the Gemara says, what is dispositive is it has to be that this is the final Maaseh Mitzvah. If this is a Hekshe Mitzvah, then there's no, you don't make a bracha on Hekshe Mitzvah. That's what the Gemara says. You don't make a bracha on making a sukkah and tying tzitzis and so on and so forth. Who had Adinami writing the mezuzah. You don't make a bracha on writing the mezuzah. And you saw Tosis there in Menachas points out that the Yerushalmi disagrees with the Bavli, and the Yerushalmi, if you want to see it inside its brachas, the last paragraph of brachas parak tes halacha gimel, Yerushalmi says you do make a bracha on a Hekshe Mitzvah. And interestingly, the Gra points out in several places in the Be'er HaGra, in the halachas of Basar Shel Salam HaNa'ayin and elsewhere, every once in a while the Gra points out, Darko Shel HaRambam Lifsoka Yerushalmi Negra Bavli Bekam Mekavos. The Rambam was not Bavli-centric in the way other Rishonim were. The Rif writes at the very end of Erevin that whether the Machlok is Bavli or Yerushalmi, we're going to automatically pass them like the Bavli. The vast majority of Rishonim accept that position of the Rif. But the Rambam, who was from Beis Midrash Shel Rif, rejects it. And the Rambam seems to indicate that himself, and the Gra points out explicitly, that he did not automatically assume that they were always going to pass like a Bavli against Yerushalmi. Every once in a while, that's the teretz to Shver Rambam. How's a Rambam square with the Gemara? The answer is, he didn't pass like the Gemara. The Rambam doesn't quote all the Makoros. He doesn't tell you who he's quoting, and he's only quoting the Makoros he thinks are Allah HaLaisa. So every once in a while, the answer is, Rambam didn't... He's not trying to save Shat in the Bavli. He's quoting the Rishonim. So every once in a while, the Rambam will do that, but he didn't automatically pass like the Bavli, but he also didn't automatically pass like the Rishonim. So in this case, the Rambam, as you saw, does seem to assume like the Bavli against the Rishonim, that we do not make brachas on Hekshe Mitzvah, we only make a bracha on the actual Maisa Mitzvah, on Gemara Siyasa, and that's what's quoted here in Shulchan Aruch. Just make a bracha on the Kriyas Mezuzah v'lo yivarech b'shas k'sivasa. Now it should be noted that Tosfos goes on to say there is a third shita, the Tosefta, which is, well, you don't make a Birkas HaMitzvah on a Hekshe Mitzvah, but you might make a Shechyanu. So that the Rambam, as you saw, the Rambam does later in the Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchos Brachos when he discusses Birkas HaMitzvahs, there he does seem to be warm too. So it's perhaps in a certain sense a middle position. Should be noted also this Yerushalmi, there's a fascinating tziv. Schefter is fond of quoting. Tziv wrote one of his most famous svarim, a sefer on the She'iltos. She'iltos was a sefer written by one of the Gaonim, the first independent sefer halacha, I think, written lachar chasimus haTalmud. He wrote al seder haParshios. And every parsha, he has one or two or three topics halacha, and he discusses the shiltos, so quote gemaras and give you his psak halacha, his pshat and his psak halacha maisa. And then towards the very end of the sefer, gets up to Zosar Bracha, he talks about the Yom Tov of Tishrei. Venetziv, that's the Sheiltos, goes back to the days of the Gaonim, over 1,000 years ago. Venetziv, the Sefer Sheiltos was barely known. The Netziv wrote a very extensive parish on the Sheiltos, and comparing the Sheiltos to working out the Sheiltos in the context of various sugyas, and in the Machlokes we've shown him where the Sheiltos fall, maybe it's a third sheet, and maybe he's Masber this and that. Fascinating, fascinating, very rich Sefer called the Hamik She'ela, or Hamik She'ala. So the Netziv, at the very end of the Yom Kippur Sukkot section, he talks about the position of the Yerushalmi, and he makes an intriguing point. He says the Yerushalmi didn't say, this is it. No, well, there's an element to the Yerushalmi that we do accept la halacha. And it says follows. Bavli says we don't make a bracha on Hechsher Mitzvah. Yerushalmi says, Tosa says, we do. So what you mean, say, if you go to the Sfarm store to buy a sitter so you can have better kavana when you daven, so you make a birkas a mitzvah there? Well, we don't make a birkas a mitzvah on davening anyhow. But let's say you place an order with Gavi book to get a Torah Shulchan Aruch so you could learn Hilchos Mezuzah. So let's say you do that in the morning before Shacharis. Do you have to make a birkas haTorah because buying a sefer is a hechsher mitzvah? Really? You have to make, according to Yerushalmi, we don't pass like Yerushalmi, but according to Yerushalmi, when you go to buy a lulav and esrog, you have to make a birkas hamitzvah. When you go to buy a shofar, you have to make a birkas hamitzvah. The Netziv says it can't be. So the Netziv says, even the Yerushalmi didn't think he'd make a birkas mitzvah on every hechsher mitzvah. But the Yerushalmi thought that this maybe was a half mean of the Bavli too, is that there's a certain class of hechsher mitzvah that are quasi mitzvahs. And what is that? The Netziv says he develops a fascinating concept that a hechsher mitzvah hakasuv b'Torah. He says the Torah doesn't say go buy a lulav. The Torah doesn't say go buy a shofar. The Torah doesn't say go buy, well, leave svarim aside. But there are certain hechsher mitzvahs that do appear in the Chumash, like tying tzitzis, like writing a mezuzah. So the mitzvah is to take that mezuzah you wrote and attach it to your doorpost. But the Torah describes making a sukkah. The Torah describes making a mezuzah. The Torah describes making tzitzis. So the Netziv says he thinks that hechsher mitzvah hakasuv b'Torah is a sort of an in-between category. It's not a full ma'aseh mitzvah, but it's more than just a stam hechsher mitzvah. It's like a quasi, a semi-mitzvah. And he has a series of nafkaminas. For instance, so one example is, this does not work according to Rambam, but according to many other Rishonim, when they talk about mitzvah bo yosemi v'shlucho, sugi at the beginning of the second paragraph of Kiddushin, the Gemara gives two examples of that principle. That's better to do a mitzvah, even if you can be yotze mitzvah with a shliach, it's more ideal to do it yourself. The two examples the Gemara gives are getting married, you should show up to your own chuppah, give the ring yourself, don't send a shliach, not only because it will be profoundly unromantic to send someone else to be mekadesh your wife for you, but in addition to that, mitzvah bo yosem v'shlucho, the Gemara says. And the Gemara's other example, in the opening sugi in the second paragraph of Kiddushin, is preparing for Shabbos. The Gemara has a whole long list of Amoraim, and each one, this one took care of the fish, and this one swept, and this one did that. That's to be involved yourself, personally, in preparing for Shabbos. Now, what's interesting, the Rambam happens to think that both of those are mitzvahs. The Rambam thinks that getting married is in and of itself a mitzvah. The Rambam thinks that preparing for Shabbos is in and of itself a kiyum of the mitzvah medivrei Kabbalah of kavod Shabbos. But many other Rishonim, among them Tosa Rosh, understand that those are not mitzvahs. Getting married is a good idea, but it's not in and of itself a ma'aseh mitzvah. It's a hechsher to puruvu, perhaps, and to all sorts of other mitzvahs. But the Baal Tosfos don't think the getting married is in and of itself, per se, a mitzvah. And Tosfos Rosh indicates also, preparing for Shabbos is exactly that. It's preparing for Shabbos. If you put up the challah to Erev Shabbos, put up the challah on Thursday morning, you can enjoy the challah on Thursday night. Put up the challah, which is a different mitzvah, but the Mitzvah Shem, tonight we'll have our little shishi, Helik little shishi. But put up the challah on Erev Shabbos. Rambam says, put up the challah on Erev Shabbos is a kiyum of Kavod Shabbos. But the Baal Tosfos said, no, it is onuk Shabbos when you eat the challah. Put up the challah on Erev Shabbos is a hechsher. So Haray, Netziv points out, the two examples the Gemara gives of mitzvah yosem v'shlucho aren't mitzvahs. the Hechsher mitzvah. But he says, maybe the Hechsher mitzvah ksum v'torah. And he has other, so he says, maybe mitzvah yos v'shlucho applies to Hechsher mitzvah hakasav v'torah. It's a quasi mitzvah, enough of a mitzvah to qualify for that. And he has several other examples. And he says, the Rishon. According to Rishon, you make a Birkas HaMitzvah, not in every Hechsher Mitzvah, but a Hechsher Mitzvah Kasav HaTorah. Now, if Kamina Lamaisa, that Netziv, is that it's ideal to build your Sukkah yourself. It's ideal to tie your Tzitzis yourself. Because those are also Hechsher Mitzvah Ksum HaTorah. We pass like the Bavli, you'll make a Bracha on it, but according to Netziv, if you can, you can be Yotze Tzitzis someone else tied, but there's value, it's a meaningful Hidur to Mitzvah B'Shlei Musa, to tie the tzitzit, where tzitzit you tied yourself. To sit in the sukkah that you tied, that you made yourself, at least that you were involved in laying some of the tzach, that's not required, but it is ideal. Mitzvah b'yosim b'shlucho, again, this netziv about heksher mitzvah hakasav b'torah. Okay, so that halach l'mais v'yipasna l'bavi, not the Yerushalmi, it's the heksher mitzvah hakasav b'torah, maybe mitzvah b'yosim b'shlucho, but you don't make a bracha. You don't make a bracha. Okay, and then we'll come back to the Shachiyona question in a couple of moments. But first, working our way through the on the page, so the Ramah then goes on to quote the question of, let's say, how many brachos do you make? I'm putting up, we move into apartment, we move into house, and it's rare that there's one mezuzah, there's probably three, or five, or ten, or 20. So how many brachos do you make? The Ramah quotes... they tell you this, they look in the Beis Yosef, you'll see it's from the Tshuvas Rashba, that if you put up multiple mezuzahs at once, mevarech bracha achas lekulam. Now if you look in the Beis Yosef, he'll send you to Tshuvas Rashba. If you look at Tshuvas Rashba, he says that's the din. But you look in the Gra sends you to a more ancient source. Usually the Bira, most of what Bira Gra does is give you the Mar Mekamos for the Shulchan, what appears in Shulchan Aruch Ramah. And most of the time, he's giving you that which already appears in the Beis Yosef. And as you learn, you'll say, as you're starting from the Beis Yosef, and you're coming to the Shulchan Aruch Lugah, most of the time, you've seen this already. He's organizing it on the page. Every once in a while, though, he'll give you something that didn't appear earlier. And here's an example. He actually tells you that this is a Tosefta. In Sifkat and Dal, the Gemara says, it's Tosefta in the last pack of Brachos. That if you're... Tosefta even quotes an opinion that we don't accept, that if you're going to do multiple mitzvahs, you should make it... One Tana says you make a general bracha al ha-mitzvos. We don't accept that. We make... When we show up to shul, if you wear a talis, you make a separate bracha in talis and a separate bracha in tefillin. Ashkenazim even make a separate bracha in shayat and then shalrosh. We don't just say al ha-mitzvos and then put on talis and tefillin. But so that opinion in the Tosefta is rejected. But then Tosefta goes on to say, but let's say I'm going to do the same mitzvah multiple times, do multiple iterations of the same mitzvah. I'm going to shecht 10 chickens. I'm going to do bedikas chametz on 7 different rooms. Or I'm going to put up, as Rajba applies, I'm going to put up a series of mezuzahs, so then you make one bracha and it covers everything. Now the reason why this is important, it's important number one if you put up multiple mezuzahs, which often happens, you should make one bracha. It also plays out in the following way. What it means is that when we get to Sim Reish Pei Vav and talk about where you chayv mezuzah and where you not, we'll keep this din in mind, because what this means is that this sequence, if you're going to put up multiple mezuzahs, you have to think carefully about in what order do you put them up. Because you're going to make a bracha on the first one, and then everything else is covered by that first bracha. We'll discover, as we learn Siman and Reish Pei Vav Reish Pei Zayin, that there are many cases which are machlokas harishonim, whether or not you're chayv mezuzah. For instance, here's a shocker. Many people, that when you think about, like, where would you start putting mezuzah? In coming to a new house, gather the family, you're going to make a bracha, we'll start putting up all the mezuzahs. So a likely place to start would be, we'll stand at the dining table, and put the beautiful Jerusalem stone mezuzah. The Jerusalem stone mezuzah inside a parchment mezuzah inside the beautiful Jerusalem stone mezuzah case. It's going to go between the living room and the dining room. That's a beautiful mezuzah case. We'll start with that. Nothing doing. We'll discover in Siman Reish Pei Vav, it's a machlokas harishonim, whether you're mechuyev to put a mezuzah there or not. Hayi tochen. The living room and the dining room? Absolutely. The Rambam is of the opinion you're only chayev on him to put mezuzah on a doorway with doors. And the Ram, if the Rambam lived in our homes, he would not have a mezuzah between the living room and the dining room. Shocking. So we're not making like that Rambam. Other Rishonim disagree. But if you're only putting up a mezuzah between the, if the only mezuzah needs to be put up is that one, we would put up without a bracha. Certainly, if you're going to put up a whole slew of mezuzahs, you want to make sure to pick one. The first one should be one that's vaday chayiv, and then you're safe because then you make a bracha on that one, and then everything else is covered. If you're not mechayiv, it's not an issue. If you are mechayiv, you have a bracha. Comes up with Tevilas Kelim. Also, the same type of scenario. You have if you come in with a whole basket full of kelim to tovel, and some are vaday chayiv and some are safek chayiv. So Tosis keeps telling you, why not tovel the one that's a safek together with one that's a vaday? So that way, you'll make a bracha on the vaday, and then your safek is good. If it's chayiv, you have a bracha. If it's not chayiv, there's no bracha levatal. So that's important. We'll keep that in mind as we return to Reish Pei Vav. We'll see that the doorway without the door is only one of many scenarios where there's where we put up mezuzah misafek, and therefore that's not the ideal first mezuzah. We'll say instead you'll start, let's say, on a bedroom door, and then you'll work from there. Some chaver had asked about in Seder the language of Shulchan Aruch, language of the Torah. Balakava, after Shem Reish Pei Ches was spoken, how you write the mezuzah, now you're ready to attach it. So you put it in a tube, or however you're going to set it up. Yikbe'enu b'makoma, and then you attach it on, you kovei the mezuzah, v'yivarech. And you should make a bracha l'kibol mezuzah. So some of the chaver pointed out that language of the Shulchan Aruch was taken from the Torah. The Rambam does not say that. The Rambam is subtly different. End of a parakei, he said, "Kodem shik be'end of mezuzah Pesach, mevarach tchila, baruch atah Hashem, etc., etc." Rambam is very clear that it's over. As I said before, over l'asiyasum. The Torah Shulchan Aruch make it sound like you put up first and then you make the bracha. The truth, if you look back at the Rosh, and he in turn is really quoting the Rif as he often does. Kad. Kiddikava la mezuzah omer baruch atah Hashem, etc., etc. When you are kovei the mezuzah, you say this bracha. That's the language of the riff of the Rambam. So that's a riff in the Rosh. And that language of the riff is probably the source for the. That's where the Rambam got from, that this is the bracha that you make. And that language is sort of open ended. The language of Shulchan Tur and Shulchan Aruch sounds like you're koveya and then you make the bracha. I'm pretty sure that's not what he meant. Two speculative suggestions in terms of how to deal with the language of the Torah and Shulchan Aruch. Number one, it could be that's what he's trying to say. He looked back at the Rambam also. It's true that Halacha Zayin, he said, Kodim Shik Be'ena Mevarech Tchila, but Halacha Vav, he had said, he goes through over the course of Perakeh, he goes through Reish Pei Ches, Reish Pei Tes. He goes through the writing of the mezuzah and then the rolling of the mezuzah. Halacha Vav, here's how you roll it. And then he says, Acha Shagola, Halacha Vav, you put it into a tube, Shofar Shalkana Shalates, etc., etc. Umechaderosa el mezuzah HaPesach. And then he says, Halacha Zayin, by the way, footnote, but before you put it up, make sure you make a bracha. But he did already mention the putting up earlier, because he was given sort of the play-by-play. You write it, you roll it, you put it in the tube, and you attach it. So maybe that's what the Shulchan Aruch says also. He wasn't, the Torah and Shulchan weren't as explicit that it's Mevarach Tchila, but it's probably understood. Maybe. I'm not so convinced this is what the language means, but the din is, I believe, correct. Anyhow, maybe when he says yikbe'ena, v'yikbe'ena v'makoma, he doesn't mean to attach it. Maybe he just means to place it, put it in place. Because in Halacha Dalid, see, in Siv Dalid, the Shulchan Aruch is going to talk about the actual attaching. Ketzar kova with nails, or you drill in. But Shulchan Aruch, Rama said earlier. So maybe in halacha and sif aleph, he just means put it in place, put it there, and then you say the bracha. I'm not convinced that that's what he means. I think more likely is that kavias means what kavias always means. And he just after he following the Seder of Rambam. But it is true, whether or not that's what the Rambam means by yikbe'ena, it is true that you should place the mezuzah, have the mezuzah in place, ready to go, before you make the bracha. That's something that the Rishonim point out, when the Gemara, this is true for all Birkas HaMitzvah, when the Gemara, the Rishonim of the Ritva and others are bothered, over lasiyasa, we're used to that language, but it's a bizarre turn of phrase. And the Gemara has to explain, Pasuk and Malachim to explain, what does over even mean? It means in advance of. Ritva says, you have to use a funny word, then you have to explain what it means. Just use the word kodem, or lifnei. But you have to use over lasiyasa. Kodem lasiyasa. Why did Shmuel use such a strange term? Ritva says, because kodem just means at some point before. Over means not just before, but immediately before. And that's specifically what you want. You don't make the bracha and then a minute later, or half a minute later, you do the mitzvah. You make the bracha and then you jump right in. And not just in terms of not having a time lag, but also not having any extra steps to do. You have all the preliminaries are done. It's a post can point that. You can make a bracha on tzitzis, with talis katan, talis gadol, whatever it is, whatever you're up to. So you don't make the bracha while you're unfolding it, even though we often do that out of habit. Or you make a bracha on tefillin. So sometimes people, out of the habit, they start making the bracha while they're still unrolling the tefillin. But the correct thing to do is you have the tefillin rolled. They're on location. The shalyad is on your bicep. You're holding the strap. You're ready to go. There are no other steps necessary other than the ma'aseh mitzvah, which is the hiduk, the tightening. And then you say the bracha from beginning to end. And then you do the ma'aseh mitzvah. That way it's over lasiyasa, not just lifnei, but over immediately before. So that's going to be true for mezuzah as well, that you should have, you make the bracha when your mom is, you're good to go. You have your nail, you have your hammer, if that's what you're using, you have the mezuzah, it's in place, you're ready to go, everything, the nail's in, boom, you're ready to hit, and right before you hit, you make the bracha, and then you start gluing or taping or nailing, as the case may be. So that is true, maybe, speculatively, maybe that's what he means by yikbe'enem and makomo. Put it in place and then make the brach. Yeah.
The haskama at the beginning of the Chof Zadar has this pshat.
Which?
The pshat that Rebbe just said.
Really? Second pshat.
The pshat of.
That means to put it into place. Wow. Okay. Brach Shekivanti. I don't know if Brach Shekivanti or I saw it 20 years ago. I was looking back just earlier this afternoon at notes from the first time I had the chance to learn Hilchos Mezuzah. It was Tafshin Samach Beis. That summer in the Hilka. So it could be, then I looked at it and they sort of been bouncing around.
What?
Ooh, wow. Okay. That's pretty frail. Okay, and in terms of one last point about the Sif Aleph with the brachas, and then we'll. Yeah. There are other things to say about the brachas as well. Two quick points. Number one is Pitzchei Tshuva raises an issue, and it raises a couple of issues, but I would highlight the first one, which is when you take it down to check and then you put it back up. So what's the story with you have to make a new bracha? And that's a likely scenario you might have, or let's say a mezuzah falls down, Rahman al-Tzlan, or a mezuzah comes off in your hands. That's a much better situation. You were kissing a little too aggressively, whatever it is, or it was weak, and when you touched it, that was the straw that broke the camel's back, and Baruch Hashem, it falls into your hand instead of Rahman al-Tzlan falling on the floor. Whatever, mezuzah comes off, you take off mezuzah, so you make a brach when you put it back on. So he raises a question of, is it similar, Rabbi Akiva Eiger talks about this, is it similar to the rules of talis? That's what the Pesachim Tshuva begins to talk about. It's similar to rules of talis, if you take it off for a short period of time and you took it off intentionally, you took it off, you're going to put it back on 5 minutes later, you don't have to make, let's say the minig is not to walk into the bathroom with the talis gadol, So a fellow takes off his tallis and puts it back on a couple minutes later, so then you don't have to make a bracha. If you take it off and you take your tzitzis off to go swimming, to shower, to play ball, depends how long were your tzitzis off. If you took a shower, hopefully it wasn't that long. If you went swimming, it could be that was a very long time. Took your tzitzis to play ball for an extended period of time, then you want to put it back on. A chok supposed to be how long is long enough? A half hour, 45 minutes, things Rabbi Shechter assumes, the Rabbi Wulik thing talks about 3 hours. Whatever the zman is, if you take off for an extended period of time, then you have to make a new bracha. If you take off for a brief period of time, you don't. Post can say if it fell off, so then even if it fell off for a second, you have to make a new bracha. If I took it off intentionally, with intent to put it back on soon, so then you assume that does not require bracha. Chovas Hadar, so Pizchichu raised the question, is the mezuzah the same? And the Chovas Hadar writes, he thinks Haskamas HaPoskim is yes, it is the same as Talas. If you took it off, if it fell, even if it moms, you caught it, but if it fell on its own, unintentionally, no one had any intention, fell on its own, so then, or you knocked it off by accident, then you have to make a bracha. But if you took it off, if you get it back on pretty soon, so then you don't have to make a new bracha. When we get to Simi Reish Tzadi Alf, we'll talk about what the Bedikas Mezuzah looks like and how it is possible to do to take it off just for a short period of time. So that's very important in halacha. One other issue I'd mention, though, in the world of the Sif Aleph and the brachas, we left hanging before the question of Shehechiyanu. So it's worth noting there are two reasons why you might want to make a Shehechiyanu. There are two issues and three shitos. One issue is what you saw the Tosas quotes, the Tosefta, and the Rambam quotes, that you should make a Shehechiyanu. So the way the Rambam presents it in his Perek on Birkas HaMitzvos, Perek Yud Aleph Hilchos Brachos, and the Gra here seems to be supportive of the Rambam's approach, that aside from periodic mitzvahs, so the Rambam has three categories. Make a Shehechiyanu mitzvah if it's a cyclical mitzvah, or if it's just generally like sukkah or shofar, or if it's just generally a rare mitzvah, like picking up that, or the Rambam says if it's a mitzvah, sheish bo kinyan. Forget about timing. If it's a mitzvah that has to do with something, a new asset, so then that type of mitzvah calls for a shachianu. Mezuzah one of the examples. So the Gra seems to be supportive of that. The Gra quotes Rambam approvingly. But the Tosfos and the Shach here in the Magen Avraham and Arachayim, they get involved in details, but they all agree that you only make a Shehechiyanu mitzvah if it's a b'mizman l'zman. We could discuss what exactly is b'mizman l'zman, but it has to do with the rarity of the mitzvah. They do not accept, Tosfos, the Shach, and the Magen Avraham do not accept the Rambam's new category that mitzvah sheish ba kinyan calls for Shehechiyanu. So nafkamina is going to be mezuzah. The Gemara never says you make a Shehechiyanu mezuzah. Do you or don't you? So that's a machlokas, Tosfos versus the Rambam. And then so that's one issue. The mitzvah sheish ba kinyan. The other issue that might drive a Shehechiyanu is the Ramah earlier in Yeridah, Simon Chaf Ches, at the end of Hilchos Shechita, by Kisui Adam, the Ramah quotes the position one of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, a Rokeach, who said that you know, based on a Braisa about Karban Mincha, if I remember correctly, Rokeach develops the idea that the first time in your life that you're mischanech to a particular mitzvah, you should make a Shehechiyanu. The first time in your life that you're going to do Kisei Adam, you have to make a Shehechiyanu. Sometimes the first time in a person's life, I remember when I was a young bacher here, it was Ben Chaim did a shechita in first hall. He walked in with big paper bags that were moving vigorously. The chickens were inside. And he went upstairs to the classroom. And I think it was Michal Katz, one of the last of the European Rosh Yeshiva in YU. So I think it was Michal Katz who was there. And he was mechabed him to Kisei Adam, I think. And if I remember correctly, the whole discussion about was he going to say Shehechiyanu or not? Because he was an elderly Talmud Chacham who had, it seemed like, had never in his life performed Kisei Adam. Never got so close to a Shechita. So that the Ramah raises that issue. So which means that La Maisa, there are three Shitos whether or not I make a Shechianu on Kviyas Mezuzah. Yes, no, and first time in your life only. So the Chovas Hadar suggests, Shulchan Aruch does not say make Shechianu. But again, if a Tosafot says no, and Shachar Magaram support that, but then if the Rambam says yes, then the Gra supports the Rambam. And then you have this Rambam earlier, and maybe at least the first time in your life, Mitzvah Hashem, the right time. So the Chovas Hadar says you're going to make a Shechianu anyways on buying the house, especially if you bought the house, not if you're moving to rental. Bought the house, make Shechianu. So why not save that Shechianu instead of making the Shechianu at the closing when you're calling the house? Why not save the Shechianu for when you put a mezuzah? You have in mind this is the Shechianu in the house. The same way Rosh Hashanah, the post can say second day of Rosh Hashanah, suffer the Shechianu Yantiv. So if you have bought a new suit, save it for the second day, second night of Rosh Hashanah. So Mela, you make Shechianu on the suit anyway. You have in mind, everything's covered. So that's what the Chovas Hadar suggests. Why Mios Tovat Tikira? Why not, you're buying the house, why not Chaparain Mishneh Hatzadim? Okay, so those are some. There are more issues about the brachas also. I think that covers the major issues in terms of the Birkas HaMitzvah and Sif Av. Now let's turn our attention to Sif Beis already moves to the second segment. The Reish Beis Tes is all the Dinim of Kviyas HaMezuzah. So Sif Aleph was the bracha, and then Sif and Beis and Gimel, a little bit of Dalet. And the second question is, where do you put the mezuzah? And as I mentioned in Marbu Komo, as I mentioned in Talking of the Week, and I think the way to think about it, and the Chovas Hadar indeed sets it up this way, is to think about three dimensions. The question of where you put the mezuzah is a question of, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in a three-dimensional world, question of how high or how low, and then a question of how deep into the doorway, and then the question of, you know, side to side. Specifically, that's usually a pretty binary question of, does it go on the right or left? Although we'll see in Sif Dalet, there's a little more to that as well. So it's the thing about the three dimensions is a useful way to organize the dinim. And in Sif Beis, the Shulchan Aruch already discusses all three dimensions. First, he talks about how deep in as you walk through, and then he talks about how high, and at the end he talks about the right and left, which he continues to discuss in Sif Gimel. So the right and left will leave for next time. But let's talk a little bit about the how deep, and let's talk a little bit about the how high. So the how deep. So you saw the Gemara discusses this Lamed Beis and Beis, the Baam Lamed Beis and Beis and Menachos, one of the first sugyas, the very beginning of the Gemara, the first sugya of Kaviyas HaMezuzah. Beforehand, the Gemara was talking about the Ksiva of Tefillin, the Ksiva of Mezuzah. And now we're talking about the very first din of Kviyas Mezuzah, the very first discussion, Tala B'Makel, which we'll get to later in the Sim, and then Hinicha Acher HaDelas, Akana Ve'im B'Mitzah, you put it Achore HaDelas. It could be dangerous. We shall discuss why it's so dangerous. It's dangerous because you're going to bump your head if you have the mezuzahs behind the door, you're not going to see it. Or I mean, it's dangerous because you're not being Mekayim Mezuzah, so Mela, you don't have the Shmira. Okay, so whichever it is, that second one definitely indicates that this is a severe problem, that Mamash not Yotze. And then, Yehuda Yom HaShmuel goes on to say, Mitzvah, ideally, you should put it Besoch HaLolo Shel Pesach, in the door space. In other words, here I'm outside the room is before the door space. Over here I'm after the door space. And Chalal HaPesach is, I do this carefully, in here. The space of the door. That's what Yehuda says. Mitzvah to put it, Besoch Chalalo Shel Pesach. Is that the same as Achor HaDelos? Is that not? Is Chalal Pesach just the opposite of Achor HaDelos? Two options. You're behind the door, you're in the door space? That's a good question. Doesn't sound like that, because it sounds like it's a separate memra. And also, we said, Chalal HaPesach is just mitzvah, which sounds like it's ideal, but not li'ikuvah. Achor HaDelos, it sounded like it was pretty severe. And then the Gemara has a third comment about how deep. And that is, mitzvah lahanicha b'tefach hasamach l'rishus harabim. An idea within the Chalal HaPesach, this only comes up if you have a very deep doorway. Sometimes, one thing going back to the door between your living room and the dining room, sometimes you have like a thick maybe like 7-8 inches wide. If you're facing the doorway, sometimes like a really wide, and oftentimes people want to center the mezuzah, so it's aesthetically more pleasing. But the Gemara says, but you really ought to do it in the first tefach going in. So if you have a deep doorway, don't center it 5-6 inches in. No, put in the first 3-4 inches. So those are sort of these three concepts that the Gemara is giving us. Three concepts that the Gemara is giving us. Okay, so seven seems pretty straightforward. We know what to do. I have a door. So imagine I want to put the mezuzah over here. So I say, great. This is a halal pesach. It's not a chori adelas, and it's even the first tefach. So we're good to go. Put it right there. Okay. If this was deeper, this was a deeper doorpost, they don't have to make sure to put it the first time. Seems pretty straightforward. And you look in Shulchan Aruch. Ezeh mekom kviyasa, sif beis, sim reish betesif beis, besoch halal shel pesach, in the door space, and specifically, betafach hasamach luchutz, in the first tafach, the closest to the outside, the first tafach going in. Good. And then the Rambam says, "Be machine in a ma'akev. If you didn't put it there, it's not ideal. It should be it's tapach asamach lechot, but it's not likuva. As long as it's abilvad shi'anicha b'mezuzah atzma. As long as you put it on the mezuzah itself. Gras says, after all, Sifkan Bab, he said mitzvah to put it in tapach asamach lechot." Mitzvah to put in the Chalal HaPesach. So that's not Likuva. But Ramah says, but if it's not on the mezuzah, again, here we mean the mezuzah HaPesach, not on the doorpost, then Mamash has nothing to talk about. Okay. Seems pretty straightforward. Let me ask you a practical question, though. So you guys were smiling because you noticed, well, obviously the mezuzah, it doesn't go here because this is the wrong way. Because this is the right side as we're going out. So you have to have Yimin HaNichnas. That's why the mezuzah is indeed over here. You notice also, well, you can't see because this pole is blocking, but the mezuzah, but I'm pointing to the mezuzah. Wait, 1 second, is that where it helps? Pointing to the mezuzah. Over here. In front of the door. And I'll give you something else you can all visualize. If you live in a house and not in an apartment, so you invariably have the following. The door, think about the door to the basement. Some of you may be in the kitchen, they may be in the hallway, some other room. The door that goes down, leads down to the basement. So I can predict that if you're standing on the first floor and you grab the door handle to go to the basement, you pull, you don't push. Right? Think about it. Right? Why? Right, because the building codes require you can't have a door that swings into the top of a stairs. So if someone's coming up the stairs, then he gets hit by the door, he goes flying down. That's a severe safety concern. So whenever you have a door that's at the top of a stairwell, it always has to swing away from the stairs. So that's why invariably the door that leads to your basement swings this way. Up, right? Or this door. Doors in public spaces typically also swing not into the room but into the hallway because of fire safety. Because Rahman Litzlan, if there's a fire, some other emergency, and everyone is rushing to the door, if the door swings into the room, people are going to crush against the door and everyone's stuck. So that's why instead the doors swing out into the hallway. That's a fire safety consideration. Good. Now, when you have such a doorway, if the door swings not into the, as you're walking into the room from the hallway, the door swings not into the room, but out towards you in the hallway, what that means is that when you look at the door, if you're standing on the outside, and imagine you're standing in your kitchen or whatever it is, a hand on the door to go down to the basement, there is no Chalal HaPesach in front of the door. The front of the door is flush with the doorpost, the front of the doorpost, because the door swings this way. That's why if I was going from here into the hallway, there's plenty of Chalal HaPesach. But if I'm going the other way, there is no Chalal HaPesach in front of the door. Now I have to make a decision. So where do I put the mezuzah? Do I put the mezuzah over there in front, facing me in the kitchen, but it's going to be facing me, not in the Chalal HaPesach? Or do I put the mezuzah in the Chalal HaPesach, but behind the door? That's an interesting question. So now the Shach writes in Sivkat and Gimel, Shina in a ma'akev, the Ramah writes, the Shach says, what's not ma'akev? Even Achori Adelas is kosher b'diavad. How does he know? That's what the Tur says. Now, and that's what he thinks the Ramah thinks. The Taz in Sivkat and Gimel thinks everyone agrees. But the star in the Taz, Lo Ashra Man Depolo. So when the Shach wrote his responses, his comments on the Taz, Nekudas HaKesef, he says, with all due respect, Rabbi Taz, you didn't find anyone who disagrees? Look at the Tosin. As the Shach writes in his Shach as well, same person, the Shach and Nekudas HaKesef. The Shach is a direct running commentary in Shulchan Aruch. Nekudas HaKesef is the Shach's Hasagas in the Taz. He writes here, the Das HaNemukah Yosef and the Rambam is possible. That's what the Beis Yosef points out. That's what the Levush points out. I would add, that's what the Rashi sounds like as well. That Achori HaDelas is Ma'akev. Right? Because again, the Rashi and Daflan Beis write, it's Sakana, not like Tosa said, you're going to bump your head, but the Sakana because your bias is not Mishtamer and Ma'amazikin. It sounds like it's Ma'akev. It doesn't work at all. Right. So that machlokas Rashi and Tosfos sounds like it's really at core. This machlokas is achorei del ma'akev or just a problem with chachila. That's what Tosfos has to say, that it's you're going to bump your head because maybe Tosfos is aligned with what later is the position of the Tur, not surprisingly, in the Ramah. Achorei del is just an issue with chachila. So why is sakana? It must be a physical sakana. But Rashi says, no, it's sakana because you're not yotzei in the mitzvah mezuzah. There's no shmira. That's what the Rambam writes. That's what Nuki Yosef writes. A machlokas, we've shown him whether Achori HaDelas is ma'akev or not. Wow. Achori HaDelas is pretty serious. It might be ma'akev. Shulchan Aruch is going to say, if you put on the left side, that dimension, left versus right, that's Vada Gemara, is clear as ma'akev. Achori HaDelas is machlokas, we've shown him, is ma'akev or not. So Rabbi Shechter's nusach to me in talking about this. So this is one issue in the Shach. Shach is raising, Sifkan Gimel is raising the question of, is Achori HaDelas a chadchila or even a problem b'dyavad? I think there's a second issue in the Shach also. And it goes like this. Rabbi Shechter said to me many years ago that, the question about where you put the mezuzah, this basement door issue or the public spaces issue where the front of the door is flush where the door swings outward into the hallway, the front door is flush with the front of the doorpost. He says, well, there are 3 days in Shulchan Aruch about how you define Achori HaDelas. That's what he told me. So I went back to, I said, I was thinking, I don't remember 3 days Shulchan Aruch. I went back to Shulchan Aruch. I didn't see any dais about Achori HaDelas. Matter of fact, the Mechaber never uses the words Achori HaDelas at all. The Shach uses the words Achori HaDelas. So let's try to figure out what's going on. And then I realized that Rabbi Shechter uses the word Shulchan Aruch often to mean this. The whole page. He says, Machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, someone says it there. Machlekes on the page Shulchan Aruch. If he says, Machlekes Shulchan Aruch, that means Shulchan Aruch with all the apparatus on the page. So I believe what he means, what he meant, and means, is the 3 days, I believe, are the Mechaber, the Ramah, and the Shach. Because the Ramah, on one extreme, said, just make sure it's on the mezuzah itself. Meaning, it could even be behind, it could even be, the mezuzah could be here. It's the wrong side, but you'll imagine that we're coming in this way, and put it here. The Ramah sounds like even over here, on the back side of the mezuzah, Ramah sounds like it's fine, but yeah, but just don't put it here. He said, you better put it on the mezuzah atzma. That was the language of Ramah. It has to be on the doorpost. It sounds like if it's namish on the wall, that's already a problem. But if it's over here. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch, his language was it should be in the Chalal HaPesach. So Chalal, the backside or the far side, whatever, of the doorpost, that's not Chalal HaPesach. Chalal HaPesach is here in the door space. And then finally, what's the third day? The third day says, the third day is the Shach. Shach, what does Shach say? Shach goes on to say, I've demonstrated this machlokas rishonim, whether a choridels is makiv or not. Some say it is, some say it's not. So now you understand the Madani Melech. We know Madani Melech, the Madani Yomtev. He had to change the name of the Sefer because someone misunderstood that it was somehow like he was supporting some revolution against the crown. So they thought Madani Melech, he was talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but apparently someone thought that this was like a revolt, and he got into trouble. He had to change the name of the Sefer. His name was Yomtev, the Tosis Yomtev. Yomtev wrote, he wanted to repopularize Mishnayos and Rosh. So he wrote Svarim on each one to make them usable. So we call it Madani Yomtev, originally called Neshach, it's still called Madani Melech. And he said that if you live on the edge of the ghetto, and so your front door faces a non-Jewish street, and you're worried that if you put mezuzah on the usual spot, it may not survive very long, it may be desecrated or torn down. So then he says, those people put the mezuzah behind the door. And he's saying, you put it behind the door, according to the Rambam Mukhi Yosef, you're Yotzei nothing. Achari Hadalas. He says, but look, if you have no choice, you may as well put it, if your two options are behind the door or not at all, put it behind the door. According to the tour, you Yotzei b'diavad. Okay. The Shach is telling me a second thing, which is that anywhere behind the door is Achari Hadalas, even if you're still besoch Chalal Shel Pesach. I believe where Shachter was driving at is that the Shulchan Aruch never mentioned the terminology of Achari Hadalas, perhaps because he understood that Achari Hadalas just means not Chalal Shel Pesach. So that's what he just says. It should be in the Chalal HaPesach. And Ramos said, even if it's around the other corner of the doorpost, as long as it's on the doorpost. But the Shach is assuming that anywhere behind the door, even Chalal HaPesach, anywhere behind the door is already Achari Hadalas. Just, okay, if you live on the front rows of the front lines of the ghetto, you have no choice but to be Achari Hadalas. Don't think anything behind the door. That's why, again, I believe here the Shach, the Mechab, the Ramah are three positions in terms of what you're defining as Achari Hadalas. So that's why Halacha Lamaisa, so what do you do in this case? So the basement door, or the door in the public space, where do you put the mezuzah? So many poskim assume, I think the more common approach is what you see right over here, which is you put the mezuzah in besoch halal shel pesach, beyond the door, besoch halal shel pesach. I know that's Rabbi Neuberger's approach. If you look in the Chovas Hadar, not in Parakhes, but in Parakhes, footnote Chav Beis, he quotes that the Minchas Yitzchak of Dayan Weiss was asked this Shaila, and he also assumed that you should put it the way it is here, in the door space beyond the door. The truth is the Pischei Tshuva, I think at the end of the Simen, the Sifkat and Tess, he sounds like that also, that, end of Sivkat and Tess, he sounds like he's assuming that Chalal HaPesach and Achori Hadalas, it's a dichotomy. Achori Hadalas means you're not in Chalal HaPesach. And then what Neuber said to me years ago is to put it on the front side but not in Chalal HaPesach is also not Chalal HaPesach. It's all about being in the door space. So if you take that approach, so then you understand why better to put in Chalal HaPesach, even if it's technically speaking beyond the door. Shechter, though, advocates for putting it on the front side, because on the assumption, as the Shach sounds like, that Achori Hadalas is anywhere beyond the door, doesn't matter, they're two separate issues. Chalal HaPesach is l'chadchila, Tefach Rishon l'chadchila, but then there's a separate issue of Achori Hadalas, and, so that's what the Shach sounds like, it's not the only opinion. That's one of the three opinions in Shulchan Aruch. Namely, the Ramah is most mekel, then you have the Mechaber, then you have the Shach who's most machmer, in terms of where you draw the line. And the Shacharei told us also that Achor HaDelos, you're playing with fire. Half the Rishonim think that Achor HaDelos is possible. So it's true, if you put it in the front, you're losing the L'chatchila of a Chalal HaPesach, but Chalal HaPesach is clearly only L'chatchila, mitzvah. Achor HaDelos might be Li'ikuva, and it could be that if you're beyond the door, but Toch Chalal HaPesach, it is Achor HaDelos. So the Rav Shechter diverges from the more typical stance, and he assumes that in these sorts of doors, you would put it, again, on the kitchen side of the doorpost. Even though you're not in Chalal HaPesach, but at least, more critically, you're not beyond the door, you are in front. You are in front of the door. We could rush and swallow a lot of words and try and talk about the issue of height, but maybe instead we should do it properly. There is what to say about the issue of height. It's a less complex sugya, I think, than the issue of Omek. There is what to say about that as well. And there are a couple of fascinating practical halachal maaseh shailos too about Gova. So maybe we'll address Gova briefly. I'm sorry, this is maybe a rolling gap here. The Mirchem for this coming week already jump into the sugya of right and left. That is a rich sugya that's going to take us from Sif Beis into Sif Gimel. Very fascinating that the Chovas Hadar has the hierarchy of five rules. To see where that comes from in Rishonim. So Bli Neder, this kind of Monday, put out the Mar Makomas on the right and left issues, the rest of Sif Beis and Sif Gimel. And the next week's Chabura, hopefully we will cover both the question of height briefly and the question of right and left, which anyways might even take us more